When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Did you guys see Keith Urban crash out on stage over the weekend?
No.
Oh my God, he was crashing out. And honestly, I'm really trying not to like lean into the salaciousness of it all because a lot of people are wondering if he's now relapsed on his addictions because of how concerning he was up on stage. So he was performing a couple of songs and just kind of getting into like this really angry headspace and ad-libbing all these really aggressive words. Like he has a song that says, take your records, take your freedom, take your memories, I don't need them. And he says something like, take your records, take your freedom, take your memories and all your BS reasons. And everyone's just kind of in the crowd like, we're deeply uncomfortable. But there's also some other changes that have been made to his performances. So Keith pulled the song The Fighter from his set list, which is the song that we were just talking about last week, where he made a he alluded to the fact that he might be dating his guitarist because he ad-libbed one of the words and put her name in it and said that he would be her guitarist or something along those lines. The song was, of course, inspired by his soon-to-be ex-wife, Nicole Kidman. So obviously it's going to make news when he changed the lyrics to focus on another woman. And speaking of his guitarist that people think that he's dating, Maggie Ball, she was actually absent from this most recent show. Of course, she normally is on stage because she's a part of the band. And they must have pulled her because of this whole controversy that she might be dating him.
So let me try to humanize this for just a little bit. I didn't see him crashing out, but now I see the headlines. So as a guy that's gone through divorce, and thank God nobody in here has had to do that, but also on a much smaller scale, had to try to come in to work every day and perform publicly, Kristen will tell you how I was crashing out. I am not proud of the guy I was. When you are going through something that devastating and that emotional, trying to perform or even trying to just do your job in a cubicle is impossible. But when you're also performing like this and you're you got all of this inside of you, this anger and this hurt to go up on a stage, this makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw me during that time. It was a mess, man.
It was not pretty. And it took a couple of months for like you to kind of like dig yourself out of that depression and to come back to us.
Drinking my ass off, coming in here either hungover or not being able to get out of bed or not wanting to get out of bed and listening to the show going, I just can't do it today. It's almost impossible to do. But, you know, you got a job to do, so you try. But being on a stage like this, this makes total sense to me. If he's starting to drink again and he's relapsing, anybody that's gone through a divorce knows about this period.
Yeah, it's devastating. And also when you have all these songs that are about this woman that you at some point loved and now you're going to be separated from them, you're going to be divorcing them. I mean, not to bring Taylor Swift back into the mix of it all, but I mean, I think a really good testament of how good of a performer she is she was kind of going through something similar at the start of the Eras tour. Like her relationship of 7 years was breaking up. And we will compare videos of her singing certain songs where she's literally like holding back tears and they're streaming down her face. And then you can tell when she's met Travis, because then she's like, I can sing this song, no big deal, because now I have fun memories to attach to it. Of course, at Keith Urban's most recent performance, people did notice that he wasn't wearing his wedding ring, which I feel like is kind of an obvious, well, duh, they're getting divorced. But I mean, this tour is continuing through October 17th, so he's got to wrap it up for another 10 days. It'll end in Nashville, which I believe is where he lives. So it'll be nice to get in his own bed and not have to think about it
if
anymore.
If he really is crashing out like this on stage, I wouldn't be shocked if you came in here one morning and said he canceled the rest of the tour.
I wouldn't be shocked either, but I hope not for his fans because, I mean, think about it. You purchase these tickets, you look forward to it for weeks or months at a time, and then all of a sudden it's like, gosh, dang it, did you have to get divorced right now?
Maybe this is a good conversation for later on in the show. Like, what did you have to do after something major like this happened in your life? At some point, you got to show up because it's business and there are people that are depending on you, but what did you have to go through that people didn't even know what you were going through?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You're on The Burt Show.
time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Charlie Sheen is apologizing to Dax Shepard 20 years after a tense conversation. And the funny part is that Dax Shepard said he doesn't even remember this happening, but it was very relieving for Charlie Sheen. So he was recently a guest on Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert podcast. And he said 20 years ago, around Halloween, he cut Dax Shepard off during a conversation with some kind of rude comment, and he needed to apologize for it. And Dax was like, I don't remember any of this.
I was kind of in a mood in my chair, and I was about Halloween and just zero gratitude about anything, you know. And then he, like a couple people later, he starts sharing, talking about, you know, well, that's, I don't think you had kids yet, right?
No.
He's like, yeah, no, we had a great time. Went to a couple of parties this end, and you were like giving like the fun version of Halloween.
Oh.
And I was, and I literally like in the middle, I said, try it with kids, dude. And it was so, like, it was so inappropriate and unnecessary and uncalled for. So 20 years later, apologies.
Oh,
apologies. Yeah.
So it might be the most obnoxious clip we've ever played.
It might be the most obnoxious clip ever. Just two people going back and forth. But this is a little bit more sweet, a little bit more sentimental. I mean, if you want to call Charlie Sheen sentimental at all. But Dax Shepard also talked to Charlie Sheen about how he had watched his docuseries and said that he really fell in love with him by watching it. And I think it's probably because they both battled with addiction and they could really relate to each other in that sense. And he said that he was a little bit nervous about bringing Charlie Sheen back onto his podcast because he's like, is it good for me? Or am I going to feel good about giving this guy exposure that could potentially get him back in the spotlight, which might push him back into those old behaviors?
So I am watching this doc, and I'm just falling in love with you. And I know everyone that will watch it will fall in love with you. And everyone that will watch this will be in love with you.
Right on.
And the pattern's so insanely obvious. It's like ridiculous. The pattern is you get a ton, you f-ing obliterate. You got nothing. You somehow get a ton. You obliterate it.
Right.
And so I'm watching it and I'm loving you and I know how everyone's going to feel. And I know you're going to have another opportunity to go be brilliant on a sitcom.
Thank you.
And I
or
am.
A film.
Or a film or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that terrifies the f*** out of me.
Interesting. Wow.
I'm so scared.
Wow.
For you to be given all the s*** again.
Wow.
Are you afraid of?
I'm not.
You're not.
I'm not.
You're
no.
not.
No, I'm.
Has it crossed your mind?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm cautious about it.
I even thought of my own role in this. Like, do I want to play a role in it?
In getting people to
Love you and root for you and let you be back up there where think you have the talent to be and deserve. Right. Do I want to play a role in that? I don't ever want to see you on TV again.
Me neither.
And I literally had to think ethically, like, do I want to be a part of this process? Because I now love this dude from afar.
Wow.
And you understand that.
And I know.
Yeah.
So while the Charlie Sheen pattern is very obvious, right? Get a lot and you sabotage yourself. Get a lot. However, I thought that was such an astute observation from Dax Shepard and very insightful that he actually, like, he thought out that entire process. And, like, I actually really want to look out for this person because Dax has a very impressive platform with his podcast. He's a very, very popular podcast, and he would be playing a role in the new, in the potential rise of Charlie Sheen again. So I felt like, wow, how, like, that's a lesson in being, like, super self-aware, insightful, and I think it came from a genuine place. At least it sounded like it did.
He's one of the few celebrities that I think really is an amazing interviewer for that reason right there.
Yeah.
He doesn't ask just the fluffy things. He's 100% honest, and that kind of empathy is really insightful.
And I'm sure it made Charlie feel very safe and seen in that chair, in his armchair, if you will, knowing that, like, I'm not just getting something that a PR person gave you to be able to ask me, like, you really care about me as a person. You watched the documentary. You care about how this is going to affect my career. So we'll see if that actually leads to him getting another sitcom or film, as Charlie put out there.
You're on The Burt Show.